Going to start from the second wide line on Nun Dalet Amud Aleph. So the Gemara goes back and questions something that we were discussing a lot yesterday. The Gemara asks, "V'ur b'motzai Shabbos ivrei v'hatanya asar dvar nivru be'erev Shabbos ben hashmashos eluhin be'erev haman v'keshes ksav u'michta v'haluchos v'kivro shel Moshe u'ma'ara she'amad bo Moshe ve'eliyahu p'sichas pi ha'ason u'p'sichas pi ha'aretz levloa asar ishayim Rabbi Nechemya omer mishem aviv afa ur v'hapered Rabbi Yoshia omer mishem aviv afa ayo v'hashamir Rabbi Huda omer af ha'tzvas hu haya omer tzavso b'tzavso So basically the Gemara rattles off a whole number of things that were created during Bein HaShemashos, during that period of twilight between Friday and Shabbos during creation. And again, on the initial list of things, so the Gemara lists 10 things. So the first one is the Be'er of Miriam, right? Miriam's well of water, the Mun, the rainbow, the Ksav and the Michtav refer to the writing and the writing utensils that were used to etch the letters on the Luchos themselves, the Kever, the grave in which Moshe Rabbeinu was buried, the cave in which Moshe and Eliyahu stood, the opening of Bilam's donkey's mouth, the opening of the ground by Korach. So those are the initial 10 things the Gemara lists. And then the Gemara lists, according to Rabbi Nechemya, he adds an additional 2. He adds fire, which is going to be the whole reason why we're quoting this here, because we thought from the previous Gemara that fire was created on Motzai Shabbos, but according to Rabbi Nechemya, it sounds like it was really created on Erev Shabbos. Then Rabbi Nechemya also adds a mule, right? He says the mules were also created on Erev Shabbos, Ben HaShemashos. Then Rabbi Yoshia adds an additional 2 things. He says that the ram that Avraham offered in place of Yitzchak by the Akedah, that was also created on Erev Shabbos. And the Shamir, which is the worm that was used to carve out the stones of the Beis HaMikdash, that was also created on Erev Shabbos. And then finally, Rabbi Yehuda adds an additional one, which he says are tongs. And the Gemara says, well, because the assumption is that tongs can only be created from previous tongs. So the question is, well, who created the first tongue? So the Gemara says, oh, it must be that the original tongue was created by HaKadosh Baruch Hu during Bein HaShemashos on Friday. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Amar le efshar ya'asena b'tfus v'yikban akevan. The Gemara says, it's not necessarily true. You don't have to say that Hashem created the first tongue. Maybe the first tongue was man-made. They used some kind of a mold to create the first tongue. So the Gemara says, you're right. Maybe the first tongue was created by man. But again, at the end of the day, the part that interests us in this whole Gemara is the fact that the implication is that fire seems to have been created on Friday and not on Motzai Shabbos. Now, it's interesting because you could have just deflected this by simply saying, well, that was only according to Rabbi Nechemya, right? In other words, you could have said that maybe according to the first sheet in the Gemara that lists the 10 things, it's not the case. But the Gemara doesn't say that. The Gemara says, lo kashya, ha b'ur didan, ha b'ur de gehenim. Ur didan Motzai Shabbos. Or the Gehenna be'erev Shabbos. The Gemara makes the following distinction. The Gemara says that regular fire was indeed created on Motzai Shabbos, but the fire of Gehenna was created on Friday. So the Gemara says, is that really true? For the Gehenna be'erev Shabbos ivrei v'hatanya shiva dvarim nivru kodem shenivra ha'olam ve'eluhin Torah u'tshuva ve'gan eden ve'gehenna mechisei ha'kavru ve'samikdash u'shmo shel Mashiach. So the Gemara is going to give the sources for each of these things, but the Gemara says there were 7 things created before the world, right? Torah, tshuva, gan eden, Gehenna, the kisei ha'kavru that Hashem sits on, the Beis HaMikdash, and the name of Mashiach. So before we even get into all the sources, it's clear from this Gemara that Gehenna was actually created before the world, not on Erev Shabbos. So the Gemara now gives the sources for each of these things. The Gemara says Torah dechsev Hashem kanani reishis darko. The Gemara cites a pasuk from Mishlei that says that Torah was Hashem's original acquisition before the world was even created. Tshuva dechsev b'terem harim yuladu uchsev tashev anosha adaka v'tomer shuvu v'nei adam. The famous pasuk from Tehillim that we say the pasuk in Zimra on Shabbos morning, that even before the mountains were created, Hashem already set in motion the concept of tshuva into the world. Gan Eden dechsev ayita Hashem Elokim gan be'eden mikadem. The notion of Gan Eden, that Gan Eden was created before the world, is derived from the pasuk in Parshas Bereishis that Hashem basically set up or planted Gan Eden mikadem even before the world was created. And then Gehenem dechsev ki aruch me'asmal tafter. In this pasuk, the word aruch is an allusion to Gehenem, which says that it was created me'asmal from even before the world was created. Ki se akavru vesa mikdash dechsev ki se chavon marom me'rishon mekom mikdash. It's a pasuk from Yirmiyahu that says that the ki se hakavod, right, Hashem's throne of glory, was the and his holy abode, the Beis HaMikdash, was Marome Rishon. It was already there from beforehand. And then finally, Shmo Shel Mashiach Tichsev, Yehi Shemo Le'olam Lifnei Shemesh, Yinon Shemo, a pasuk from Tehillim that says that Mashiach's name was already there Lifnei Shemesh, even before the sun was created. So again, the bottom line is that all of these things that the Gemara just listed were created before the world. So how can the Gemara say that Gehenna was created on Erev Shabbos if it's clear from the Gemara that it was created really before the world?
Is the Beis HaMikdash the third Beis HaMikdash?
So it's a good question. The Gemara doesn't specify, but I would assume so. I would assume that it's a reference to the third Beis HaMikdash. Yeah, probably. Okay, so the Gemara says like this. The Gemara says, Amre chalalahu denivra kodim shenivra ha'olam v'ur didei be'erev Shabbos. The Gemara says, no, that the actual space, the cavity of Gehenna, that was created before the world, but the fire inside of Gehenna, that was created on Erev Shabbos. So the Gemara says, really? V'ur didei be'erev Shabbos? Is that really true that the fire of Gehenna was created on Erev Shabbos? V'hasanya, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Ur shebara HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'sheni b'Shabbos, ein lo kivya li'olam. Shenemar, so the Gemara says that the fire that Hashem created on the second day of creation will never be extinguished. The Gemara cites the very last pasuk in Sefer Yeshayahu that says that they're going to go out and they're going to see the carcasses of the people who sinned and rebelled against Hashem. And the pasuk says, "V'isham lo sichbe." Their fire will never be extinguished. What does that mean? V'amar Rabbi Bana Bered Rabbi Ula Mipneima Lo Nemar Kito B'Sheni B'Shabbes. A famous question. The Rashi and Chumash asks this question also. Why does the Torah not write the phrase Ki Tov on the second day of creation as it does by all the other days? So the Gemara says, Mipnei Shenivra Bo'ur Shel Gehenna. This is not the answer that Rashi and other Mefarshim give, but the Gemara says the reason is because the fire of Gehenna was created on the second day of creation. So the Gemara says, how could you say that it was created on Erev Shabbos? V'amar Rabbi Elazar, Afal Pi Shelo Nemar Bo Ki Tov, Chazar V'chalo B'Shishi Shenemar, V'yara Lokim Es Kol Asher Asa V'hinei Tov Me'ot. So again, the Gemara says, even though it doesn't say Ki Tov by the second day, it was almost made up for or included when the pasuk says Vayara, right, when it says Vihinei Tov Me'od on the sixth day of creation. But again, the question is that you see from here that the fire of Gehenna was created on a Monday and not on Erev Shabbos. So the Gemara says no. Ela chalala kodem shenivra ha'olam v'ur didei b'sheni b'Shabbos v'ur didan b'machshava ala libaros b'Erev Shabbos v'lo nivrad motzai Shabbos desanya Rabbi Yossi Omer shnei dvarim alu b'machshava libaros b'Erev Shabbos v'lo nivru ad motzai Shabbos uv'motzai Shabbos. So the Gemara says like this, that really, again, as we said before, the actual cavity of Gehenna was created before the world. The fire of Gehenna, as we said, was created on Monday, on the second day of creation. But regular fire that we use in the world, so the Gemara says that Hashem initially wanted to create on Erev Shabbos, but Lemaisa, it wasn't created until Motzai Shabbos. That's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Das to Adam Arishon to take two stones and rub them together to make a fire. And the other thing that Adam did also on Motzai Shabbos is that he mated two animals together. He mated a horse and a cow together, and they produced a mule. So the Gemara asks, so that's according to the first sheet of the Gemara. The Gemara says, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, Pered bimei ana haya, shene emar hu ana asher matzah hayemim ba midbar. So the Gemara then quotes that according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, it wasn't Adam Harishon who created or invented or whatever mules, but rather it was Anna. In Parshas Vayishlach, when the Torah delineates all the lineage of Esav, so one of the people mentioned there is Anna, and it says in the end of Parshas Vayishlach that Hu Anna Asher Matzah Es Hayemim BaMidbar, that this was the guy Anna who discovered mules in the desert. So the Gemara explains Dorshe Chamuro Sayomrim Anna Pasul Haya Lefichah Chevi Psula Olam Shene Amar Eilev Nei Seir Hachori Uchsev Eilev Nei Tzivon Vayav Anna Elam Alamit Shebat Tzivon Al Imo Vaholin Mimena Anna. So the Gemara says that there seems to be a contradiction between two psukim at the end of Parshas Vayishlach. On the one hand, the psukim described Tzivon and Anna as being brothers, and then the other pasuk says that Anna was the son of Tzivon. So the Gemara says, how does that make any sense? So the Gemara says, because Tzivon had relations with his mother and gave birth to Anna. So Anna was both his son and also his brother. So the Gemara says, you see from here that since the entire family of Esav, or many of the people in the family of Esav, were involved in these sort of incestuous relationships, it made a lot of sense that he would be the guy to also bring into the world an animal that was produced by mixing together different breeds of animals. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? V'dilma treyana havu. The Gemara says, how do you know that this is the same guy, the same Anna that was born from the incestuous relation? Maybe there's another guy named Anna who made mules. So the Gemara says, no. The Gemara says, Amar Rava, Amina Milsa Deshvor Malka Lo Amra Umanu Shmuel, Ika Da Amri Amar of Papa, Amina Milsa Deshvor Malka Lo Amra Umanu Rava, Amar Krahu Anna, Hu Anna Deme Ikara. So the Gemara cites this idea from, the Gemara uses this kind of an appellation of Shvor Malka. Shvor Malka was an actual king. He was one of the kings of one of the Persian dynasties. But here the Gemara references either Shmuel or Rava as Shvor Malka because their Piske Halacha were considered widely accepted as if they were the edict of a king. So the Gemara is using that kind of as like a nickname almost for Shmuel and Rava. But again, the bottom line is that whoever made the statement basically said that built into the pasuk in Vayishlach itself, you already get an indication that this guy Anna is the same guy because the pasuk says Hu Anna. So Hu Anna implies this is the same Anna that we were referring to earlier, who was born because of the incestuous relationships. He was the same guy who also made the mules in the desert. Okay. The Gemara now says Tana Rabbana. Sarah Dvarim Nivru Be'er Shabbos Ben Hashmashos Eluhein Be'er Uman V'Kesha Saksa V'Hamichta V'Haluchos Kiver Shal Moshe Ma'arash Amad B'Moshe V'Elio Psichas Pi'asin U'Psichas Pi'aretz Lavloa Esarishayim. So again, those are the 10 things that we already listed earlier, the 10 things that were created during Ben Hashmashos on Erev Shabbos. And now the Gemara lists a few new ones that we didn't have before. The Yeshomrim Af Maklo Shal Aron Shkedeha Ufracheha. This opinion the Gemara says that Aaron's staff with all the flowers and the blossoms and everything that from Parshas Korach that came off of the stick that was also created on Erev Shabbos. The Yeshomrim Af Mazik, and some say that demons were also created on Erev Shabbos. The Yeshomrim Af Big Dosh Shal Adam Harishon. Some say the garments of Adam Harishon were also created on Erev Shabbos. Tanu Rabbanan Shiva Devarim Mechusim Mibnei Adam. There are 7 things that are concealed from man. Eluhain, Yom HaMisa, the day of death. Yom HaNechama, the day of consolation from a person's worries. If a person is caught up in all of their problems and worries, so again, we have no idea when those fears are going to be assuaged. The Omek HaDin, we don't comprehend the profundity or the depth of judgment of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the future. The Ein Adam Yodea Ma Belibo Shel Chaver, we don't know what our friends are thinking. The Ein Adam Yodea Ba Me Mistaker, no one knows how they're going to make a living, how they're going to make a parnasa. Umalchus beis David masai tachzor. We don't know when the kingdom of David Melech is going to be restored. Umalchus chayeves masai tichlo, or when the Roman Roman Empire is going to be depleted or destroyed. Now again, that last one we do know historically because it already happened. But at the time the Gemara was writing this, they obviously did not know when that was going to happen. Okay, and then finally the Gemara says Tana Rabbanan Gimel Devarim Alu b'Machshava Libaros v'Imlo Alu Din Hu Sheyalu. There were 3 things that Hashem thought about creating and that were created. But even if Hashem didn't create them, it would have made sense that these things should exist anyway. Al hames sheyasriach. The first one is that after a person dies, their body will eventually decompose and rot because otherwise, if the body stays around, it's going to cause tremendous pain to the relatives. They're going to keep seeing this dead body around in its full image. You know. So eventually, the body has to decompose. Then the second thing is vial hames sheyishtakeach min halev. The second thing, which is related to the first one, is that eventually, after a while, the Gemara says moikatam, that after a year, so people start to forget about the mace. Not literally, but again, it means that a person is able to kind of move on with their lives after a while. Otherwise, the depression is going to bog them down forever. The third thing the Gemara says is that grain or produce will eventually rot because otherwise people will just hold on to their stuff forever and they will never buy and sell. And then the Gemara quotes a fourth possibility that coins and money are always going to be expendable. They're always going to be going to be marketable as currency because again, otherwise people will just hoard all their money. They wouldn't buy and sell anything. Okay. The Mishnah now says Makom Shenoagu Lasos Malacha B'Tishav of Osin Makom Shenoagu Shelo Lasos Malacha Ein Osin Chol Makom Tamidei Chachamim B'Teilim Rabban Shimon Ben Gamliel Omer La'olam Yasa Adam Atzmo Tamei Chacham. So again, continuing along the lines with the theme of different minhagim in different communities. So the Mishnah starts out by pointing out that there are different minhagim regarding whether one is allowed to do malacha on Tishav. So you have to follow whatever the minhag in your place is. Then the Mishnah also points out that if you're a Talmud Chacham, then you dafka should not be doing malacha regardless of the minhag makom. And then Rabban Shimon Ben Gamliel says that everyone should treat themselves like Talmidei Chachamim in this respect, meaning to say, no one should be doing malacha on Tishma. But again, we'll see in the Gemara in a second what that means. Okay, so the Gemara says, Amar Shmuel, Ein Tainis Tzibur Bebavel El Tisha Bav Bilvad. So Shmuel explains that the concept of a public fast day and the way that we're used to thinking about it, in Bavel, only applies on Tisha B'Av. In other words, all the other minor fast days of Asara B'Teves and Tzom Gedalia, etc., so those fast days are not considered to be Tainios Tzibur. In other words, they don't meet the same standards or the same criteria that Tisha B'Av does, as we know. So the Gemara asks, Lememra de Savar Shmuel, Tisha B'Av ben Ashmasho Shalo Asur. Does that mean to say that Shmuel holds that all of the things that go along with Tisha B'Av, all the various things that one is not permitted to do those things already begin during Ben Ashmashos? The Ha'amar Shmuel, Tisha B'Av ben Ashmashos Shalom Mutter. But Shmuel is the one who said that during the period of Ben Ashmashos going into Tisha B'Av, it's permissible to engage in all the inuyim and all the things that you're not allowed to do throughout Tisha B'Av itself. So the Gemara says, Achi Teima Kasavar Shmuel, Kol Tainis Tzibur Ben Ashmashos Shalom Mutter. If you're going to tell me that Shmuel generally holds that during the period of Ben Ashmashos before a fast day, everything is permissible, it's not true. V'ha'anantanan, Ochlin V'shosin Mi Ba'od Yom, L'ma'ute Ma'ay Lav L'ma'ute Ben Ashmashos. Shmuel says that, for example, as opposed to, let's say, Yom Kippur or Tisha B'Av, where the fast starts the night before, so he says that when it comes to a regular fast day, so you're allowed to eat and drink the night before. So the Gemara says, doesn't that come to, in other words, exclude Ben Ashmashos? In other words, doesn't that imply that during the period of Ben Ashmashos going into Tisha B'Av, you would not be allowed to eat and drink? So the Gemara says, Lo, L'ma'ute Meshach Hashech. It simply means that as opposed to Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur, where the night before you were already not allowed to eat and drink, for regular fast days, those restrictions only begin the following morning. So the Gemara then asks, so the Gemara points out, Neima Misayele, Ein Bein Tisha B'Av L'Yom HaKippur Melech Azez Sveiko Aser V'Zez Sveiko Mutter. The Gemara says the only difference between Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur is that when there's a suffix regarding Yom Kippur, you have to be Machmir, but when it comes to a suffix by Tisha B'Av, you can be Meiko. So the Gemara says, what does that mean? My Sveiko Mutter, Lav Bein Ashmashos. So the Gemara says, doesn't that mean to say that during the period of Bein Ashmashos, because Bein Ashmashos is a suffix Yom Suffix Laila, so doesn't it mean that during the period of Bein Ashmashos going into Tisha B'Av, that everything is Mutter, that none of the Inuyim apply during Bein Ashmashos? So the Gemara says, no, it's not true. K'da Amar Rav Shisha Bereid Ravidi L'Kviya Di'archa Hachanami L'Kviya Di'archa. The Gemara says that as opposed to Yom Kippur, which again, this is a classic question that all the Rishonim ask, why don't we have Yontif Sheni for Yom Kippur in Chutz La'aretz, right? Because if you think about it, if we observe Yontif Sheni for every other Chag, why don't we have Yontif Sheni for Yom Kippur? So the simple answer is because it would be too difficult for a person to fast 2 days in a row. But barring that technicality, we really should have had 2 days of Yom Kippur in Chutz La'aretz. So the Gemara says that in Ikra Din, we should have had 2 days of Yom Kippur, but Tisha B'Av, since Tisha B'Av itself is only a takana midrabanan, so therefore, in other words, the whole concept of quote unquote yontif sheni for Tisha B'Av wouldn't even get off the ground. Okay, and the Gemara says Darash Rava Ubarosu Menikos Mesarosu Mashlim.
In reality, Rabbi, we do have somewhat of additional avelus on the Asara B'Av, so you could say that there is.
That's true.
A bit of a carryover.
There is a bit of a carryover, but it's definitely not, you know, Tisha B'Av proper. That's more of a technicality because the Beis HaMikdash was still burning on the 10th of Av. That's not because of Sveika Diyom. The Haraya, the proof is that it only goes until Chatzos. So the fact is it's clearly not like a second day of Tisha B'Av, right?
But in fact, there
and there's no fast, right? Correct. No, that's true, but I'm saying, but those are standard halachos for any fast day. In other words, any fast day that falls on a Shabbos is a nidcha. That's not unique necessarily to Tisha B'Av. Okay, so the Gemara says, Darash Rava, Ubarosu Menikos Mesanosu Mashlimos Bo, Kederach Shemesanos Umashlimos Biyom HaKippurim, Uven Ashmashos Shalo Aser. V'chein Amru Mishmei de Rabbi Yochanan. So the Gemara points out that Rava and Rabbi Yochanan both say the following. Let's say you have a woman who's either pregnant or nursing, so the Gemara says that she has to fast and also complete her fast on Tisha B'Av the way she would on Yom Kippur. Not only that, but even during the period of Ben Ashmashos, she's already not allowed to. You know, again, we're obviously not talking about a case where there's actual sakana involved. We're talking about a woman who's, you know, who's healthy, so she has to fast during Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur, including the period of Ben Ashmasha. So the Gemara asks, "Umi Amar Rabbi Yochanan, is that true?" The Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Tisha B'Av Eino Kitainis Tzibur. My Lav Levein Ashmasha. The Gemara says that, in other words, that according to Rabbi Yochanan, he contrasts Tisha B'Av with other fast days. So in other words, doesn't that mean to say that Tisha B'Av differs from other fast days in that during the period of Ben Ashmashos there is no restriction of engaging in the Chamisha Inuyim? So the Gemara says, "Lo Limelacha." The Gemara says, "No, all Rabbi Yochanan meant to say is that Tisha B'Av differs from Yom Kippur in terms of the Isra Malacha, whereas by Yom Kippur, we know that there's an Isra Malacha. There is no such Isra Malacha on Tisha B'Av. The Gemara says, what do you mean? Malacha Tanina, Malkom Shenoagu Lasos Malacha with Tisha B'Av Osin, Malkom Shenoagu Shelo Lasos Ein Osin. The Gemara says, didn't we just say in the Mishnah Whether or not you can do malacha on Tisha B'Av depends on your minhag. Va'afilu Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel lo amar ela dechi yosef v'lo'avet lo mechse ki yuara. Ava meisar lo asar. Even Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel in the Mishnah, who said that you know that every person should treat themselves as if they're a Talmud Chacham and should abstain from malacha on Tisha B'Av, he never said that it was usher to do malacha. He said that not doing malacha is not a violation of yuara. It's not a violation of looking arrogant, right? In other words, because we know that there are certain activities that a person should not do. If you know this, for example, some of the Rishonim say that if a person is not on such a high level of piety, they should abstain from wearing, for example, tefillin of Rabbeinu Tam, because only a person who's on such a high degree can do something like that. So, in other words, one might have thought that not doing malacha on Tisha B'Av, maybe it's usher to do that. Maybe it's usher to not do malacha because it looks like you're greater than you really are. So the Gemara says, no, it's not usher to do. It's just not considered to be a violation of yuhara. So the Gemara says it's clear that malacha is definitely not usher on Tisha B'Av. At worst, it might be usher mitam minhag, but it's definitely not usher. So the Gemara says, Ela mai eno ketainas tibor. Letzilas Ne'ila. The Gemara says, what does it mean that Tisha B'Av is not like other fast days? It means in terms of Ne'ila. Now, again, in Eretz Yisrael and in times of the Gemara, they used to say Ne'ila not only on Yom Kippur, but on all fast days, aside from Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av was the one fast day on which Ne'ila was not recited. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? V'homer Rabbi Yochanan, ulevai sheyispalu adam beholich kol hayom kulo. Rabbi Yochanan says, in the Gemara in Brachos, he says, halavai that a person should daven all day. So it sounds like that a person can say Ne'ila on Tisha B'Av. It sounds like it's a good thing to daven extra. So the Gemara says, you're right. So one answer the Gemara says is that as opposed to other fast days where there's an obligation to say Ne'ilah, on Tisha B'Av it's just a rishus. It's optional. You don't have to say it. That's one answer. The Gemara gives a second answer that maybe the contrast between Tisha B'Av and other fast days is in terms of the 24 bracha Shemona Esrei. The Gemara in Tainus tells us that when it comes to a fast day, again in the times of the Gemara when they used to do Ne'ilah on fast days, they would have 24 brachos in their Shemona Esrei as opposed to 18 or that we have 19, but again, they used to add an additional 6 brachos on a fast day, so that those additional 6 brachos were not added on Tisha B'Av, just on regular fast days. Then the Gemara says, Rav Papa Amar, my eno ketainis tibor eno karishonos ela ka'acharonos va'asura. Rav Papa alludes to another Gemara Maseches Tainis, where the Gemara in Tainis in the beginning discusses different levels of severity for fast days that are imposed because of a lack of rain. Right, the Mishnayos and Tainis tell us that if, let's say, for example, it hasn't rained by certain dates, so Chazal imposed fast days upon Klal Yisrael to daven for rain. So the Mishnayos and Tainis tell us that, you know, that for example, initially the initial fast days are not quite as severe. You know, you just fast during the daytime. There's no Isra Malacha, but then you know, but the farther along you get with no rain, so then the fast days become more and more severe. So Rav Papa says that we equate Tisha B'Av to those latter fast days. So the fast days that were imposed for a lack of rain, once you've already gotten very far along, where there's already an Isra Malacha, where you have to fast from the night before, there's a whole bunch of restrictions that the Gemara in Tainus delineates. Okay, and the Gemara asks, Meisvei, Ein Bein Tisha B'Av L'Yom HaKippurim, Elish is that sfeiko aser, v'zes sfeiko mutter, my sfeiko mutter la ben hashmashos shalos. So again, the Gemara asks the same question we had earlier. In other words, the Gemara says, what's the only difference between Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur? Is that when you have a suffix by Tisha B'Av, the suffix is mutter, but by Yom Kippur it's aser. So the Gemara says, doesn't that mean to say that the period of ben hashmashos of Tisha B'Av, there are no restrictions? So the Gemara says, no. Amar of shisha b'reid ravidi lo l'kviya diarcha holochol dvarim zev zeh shavin. So the Gemara says the only distinction, as we mentioned earlier, is the fact that in terms of sfeika diyoma, there is no such thing as a yontif sheni, quote unquote, when it comes to Tisha B'Av. So the implication is that for all other matters, Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur are basically identical. So the Gemara points out, Misayeh lo Rabbi Elazar, Damar Rabbi Elazar, Asur lo Adam sheyoshet etzbo b'mayim b'Tisha B'Av, kiderech she'asur lahoshet etzbo b'Yom Kippur. And this would seem to support the statement of Rabbi Elazar, because Rabbi Elazar says that just as a person is not allowed to even stick their finger into water on Yom Kippur, so too they are not allowed to do so on Tisha B'Av. So again, you see from here that basically Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur are essentially identical for almost all areas. Okay, then the Gemara says, Meisvei, Ein bein Tisha B'Av l'tainis tzibur, Ela she ze'asur ba'asiyas malacha ve'zeh mutar ba'asiyas malacha b'makom shenahu. Halachol divrayim zeh v'zeh shavin. Ve'ilu gabe tainis tzibur tanya, kishe amru asur b'rechitza lo amru elo kol gufo. Avo panav yada v'raglav lo. So the Gemara asks the following. The Gemara says the only distinction between Tisha B'Av and the minor fast days is that Tisha B'Av is usher in malacha where there's a minhag to not do malacha. For regular fast days, there's no such thing as a minhag to not do malacha on a regular fast day. The implication is that aside from that one quirk regarding malacha, it sounds like everything else is exactly identical. The problem is that when it comes to a tainis tzibur, the Braisa tells us in Maseches Tainis and Maseches Moed Katan, it says that when we talk about the isser of bathing or the minhagin that people have to not bathe on a fast day, So that restriction was only for one's entire body, but to wash one's hands and their feet and their legs is their hands is totally fine. The problem is that we know that on Tisha B'Av there's an isser to wash any part of your body. As we just said, you can't even dip your finger into water on Tisha B'Av. So how can the Gemara imply that Tisha B'Av and regular fast days are identical with the one exception of Malacha? The implication would be is that when it comes to bathing, one would be permitted to wash at least their hands and their face and their feet on Tisha B'Av, which we know is not true. So the Gemara says, you know, the Gemara says Amar Papa, Tana Kule Kule Katane. The Gemara says no, that the Tana here was only talking about those areas in which Tisha B'Av is more lenient than other fast days. But in areas where Tisha B'Av is more machmir than other fast days, there are a whole plethora of those types of halacha. So the Tana wasn't bothering to list all the ways in which Tisha B'Av was more machmir than other fast days, because that's the starting point. That's the basic assumption, is that Tisha B'Av is going to be more machmir than other fast days. Okay.